Welcome to Foster Carolinas, connecting the Carolinas to voices of foster care.
L-O-T, the place I want to be. Come and sit down, have a foster chat with me. Podcast bridging the gap with Mr. Beast.
Hello, everybody. Today, we have a new guest. Not new to us. Special guest. I'll call it a special guest. Not new to us. Probably not new to you, too, if you're following along on our social medias. It's our social media queen, Rebecca.
Hey. I'm really nervous.
Guys, I think I was born for this stage, and I missed my opportunity because I was in a really like rural area. Like, I grew up, we didn't do theater. That wasn't a thing. And so I get behind the microphone, and I'm like, this is my shot.
This is where I belong.
And when I was growing up doing like church things, like kids club, we called it kids club, and we would do these musicals. Loved it. Shined. Give me all the speaking parts. And so anyway.
That's not me.
That's okay.
Behind the scenes, which is why I'm behind the social media. Behind the scenes.
She said that means,
but
I'm never in front. And when you come to me for the reels, I'm like, yes, please. So I love how we balance each other out because I don't know. I'm like, Rebecca, can you help me do this very simple, basic task on my computer? And she's like, yes, will you be in one of my reels? And so today I had to flip the script and I said, will you be in the podcast? But I am happy to announce that we are starting a new series. I think we touched on it last week when we did the Q&A. But this series for the spring is going to be Who's Helping? So we kind of did a What's There to Know this past during the wintertime. And we did like a basis of understanding. And I absolutely loved that. We had some real powerhouses in the world of foster care come and speak on things that they know a lot about. And I hope that really helped the listeners kind of get more understanding. And that's really what we want to do. We just want to be more knowledgeable, so therefore passion can grow from that. So I think you're going to help with that today. And now, so who's helping? So it's kind of funny for me to say, like me to start off by interviewing the both of us, because we're just both going to answer the questions mm-hmm. today. Because I'm going to interview you, but I'll also be answering the questions. And you'll get a little sneak peek of what we're going to be, because we're keeping this consistent. All of our questions are going to be consistent for this series, and you're going to get to hear from a bunch of different people in a bunch of different areas of foster care, but they're all going to be asked the same questions. So I'm really excited to see where this goes. So today, we'll be interviewing ourselves. I'll be interviewing Rebecca and myself.
I'm not alone.
You are not alone, no. And so the first question I'm going to start out with asking is, what is your position in serving children in foster care, and how long have you been there?
Yeah, so I started end of September of last year. Started with a trip with a bunch of people I did not know, which was great, to CAFO. It was absolutely amazing. So my position here is volunteer coordinator and social media everything. Mm-hmm. And so my job is to recruit volunteers, nurture volunteers, encourage the volunteers, and then also put information out to the world about foster care mm-hmm. and share opportunities, how you can get involved. Yeah. That's kind of my role.
You crush it too, by the way. I also need to say, if you hear that noise, we're having some work done. And I didn't realize that might interfere, because I'll be honest with you, they've been quiet up until now.
Sounds like a bee.
It does sound like a bee, a big bee, a big scary bee. But yeah, if you do hear that pay no mind. We're getting a new door. Okay, anyway, that distracted me. But if I ask myself the same question, my position is executive assistant. So I am our executive director, Susanna, which is our normal host. She does all the things. I now do help her do all the things. And it has been great. I have been here for about a year and a half, almost a year and like 5 months. And I was a volunteer first and then was able to get a job here, and I absolutely love it. So I will be at all the events. I will probably email you and ask you, can Susanna meet with you? Like, there's so many different things that it just kind of encompasses. I mean, if she's doing it, I'm doing it, which I love because I would have it no other way. I like to be involved.
You crush that position. Wow. You compliment her very well. And just
do work together well.
Yeah. Finish her sentences. You're just right there. Like, you know exactly what she's thinking or going to think, which has definitely helped me.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I can go behind her and be like, this is what she meant. What she just said to you, this is what she meant. And she's like, thanks, Abby. So it really does work well. And yeah, so that's what we do, a little bit of everything. Honestly, we're always everywhere. And I think that's really cool to see the side that we are able to be a part of is bringing people in. And I think that's both of our hearts. Like, I think our heart behind it is to bring people in because we're like, this is so cool. You want to be a part of it. So that's a lot of fun. the next thing I'll ask you is, why did you first start serving this population?
I don't have any kind of, like, I don't know, aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw a post on our church platform about camp. Mm-hmm. I'd never heard of Lisa These before. I saw the post and I said, I think I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I told my husband, I think I want to do this. And thankfully he was like, yeah, let's do it. So we both, and my mom, volunteered for Bridge Camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Bridge Camp, I learned about Shoes of Hope. I said, yes. Oh, I want to do that.
Yes.
I want to do that. Just being able to, honestly, the washing of the feet, that got
mm-hmm.
me. Being able to literally be an example of Jesus washing their feet, that got me. So I was like, oh, I definitely need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Lord just put it on my heart. Like, not necessarily like this is your destiny, but hey, just take this step.
Yeah.
Hey, just volunteer here for a couple hours. Hey, just do that. And then it just led into, I want to do all the things. Mm-hmm. I want to do it all. Yeah.
That made me tear up a little bit. Because I do see that obedience is you really did. It was like, I just kept seeing you. And I was like, I mean, I like her. Okay, so I need to tell something that Rebecca probably hates me telling, but I tell it every time, is that when she did Shoes of Hope, it was her birthday. She came on her birthday, and I said, girl, it's your birthday? What? She said, yeah, I'm happy to be here. And I was like, I know you're happy to be here, but, like, it's your birthday. Like, you're going out to eat after this, right? But anyway, I think that's really your heart, and I see that every day. And so it was a really cool start. And I was like, I like that she keeps showing up. I do think that I had an aha moment. So I learned about it, Grayson Anderson. If you are out there, shout out to you. Thank you for getting me
here.
We love you. We do love you. You're the best. I was in college, and Grayson had been an intern here. And I don't live very far from here compared to, you know, someplace. Anyway, I do live a little far. But anyway, I was like, oh, we're kind of close together. And I was like, why are you going home right before finals? And she was like, because of 12 Hours of Christmas. And I said, never heard of it. What's up? And she's like, this place that I interned with, she said they do a Christmas event and they serve children in foster care. And she's like, I'll never not be in an event. She meant that too. And I was like, okay, well, that's really cool. I was studying psychology in school. I was like, I'm interested in adoption mostly. I wanted to be like an adoption counselor. I've really not heard of one of those, really. Like, so I kind of made up in my mind. I had this idea of what I wanted to do, but I didn't know what it looked like. And so I was like, okay, well, that's really cool. She was like, I can put in a good word and, like, you can get an internship there next summer. And I was like, okay, great. So I came here under an internship, and never really left. So they made me do camp that year. Never they literally left. Did make me do camp because I tried to get out of it. And then they put me with 15-year-old girls. And I was like, oh, they hate me. I was like, I thought I did a really good job this summer. But they're going to put me with 15-year-old girls and they're going to eat me alive. They didn't. It was the best thing I've ever done.
They loved you.
We had a blast. We had an absolute blast. They were the coolest kids I'd ever seen. And I'll share this, like, I've shared on here before about, you know, I really have a heart for the teens, and it's because I started in the teens, and I was so nervous. But when they're 15, I'm not a lot older than them, y'all. I'm in college. And they asked me by the end of the week, they're like, you're over 18, right? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, you can adopt me. When 15-year-old girls ask another girl, for all intents and purposes, I was a girl still too. When they asked me to adopt them, I couldn't go back home the same way. And I was like, I don't know what my life is going to look like with foster care, but I know I'll be here the rest of my life. I know somehow this is where I'm going to be. So that was my aha moment. 15-year-old girls asking me I don't even know if I was 20-something yet. I think I'm 19, almost 20, or I might have been 20. I don't even know. But when they asked me to adopt them, it was everything. I was like, okay, screeching halt. Mm-hmm. Something's here. Something's here for me. And it was. And it was this. So I didn't know what the job I wanted was when I was studying in school. This is the job that I was preparing for, and I love it. And that is how I got into serving this population, through Grayson Anderson, really. We'll say it's Grayson. Next question is, what made you want to continue to serve this population? What made you stay? I think you kind of touched on it. Do you have anything specific?
Really, yeah, I did touch on this for when I mentioned volunteering issues of hope. I feel like that is what made me want to stay and keep saying, I'm going to volunteer for the next, I want to volunteer for all the events. Mm-hmm. At camp, but camp was great. Camp was just dipping my toes in the water.
Yeah.
I only volunteered for 2 days and only a few hours each day. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really get a lot of interaction with the kids. We got some.
Yeah.
Mom and I were in charge of handing out the late night snacks. And
oh, yeah.
Those boys can eat. Oh my gosh, they were great. They kept asking for an entire box of pizza. And by the end of the night, I finally was just like, listen, we ain't got anybody else. Here's your box. Wish come true. But at Shoes of Hope, it was more a one-on-one conversation that I got to have with them.
Mm-hmm.
And one, seeing they're just like normal kids.
Yeah.
But also kind of seeing a reserve, like they're reserved. Obviously, they're not going to open up to you like right away. And that is, yes, I'm an Enneagram 8, but that is also my personality, just being a little reserved at first. And so I felt like, okay, I can't relate to your situation.
Yeah.
I can relate to how you're feeling and not wanting to open up. And I felt like, okay, yes, I can't relate to what you're going through, but I feel like I can connect with you in a way. In that part, in that personality. And I thought that was just really special with what Lisa These was doing for these children. And then to learn that it doesn't stop there. It goes on and on and on. And that, I think that's what the Lord was telling me, like, just keep going, just keep going. And I just wanted to have that attitude. I wanted to have like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to volunteer for this. I'm going to volunteer for this.
Yeah.
And then I saw the job opening or job posting, you know, on social media, which wasn't for social media. It was for volunteer coordinator.
It wasn't.
And I said, oh, I'm going to apply.
Yeah. And then you showed your hands and showed that you actually so good at it.
I said, ooh, I love social media. And Susanna was like, I guess you're full time now. So
I forget about that. It wasn't even what you came for.
Nope, but it was great. Listen, like the Lord is going to put you where he knows you're supposed to be. And just getting my foot in the door. He showed me where I was supposed to be.
Yeah, so. For sure.
Yeah.
When I think you touched on this, it was, we're building something here. We want to be consistent and we want these kids to keep coming back. We want to build relationships with their foster families, with them, with their social workers, where they continue to come to our events if it's necessary for them. Like, obviously, if they go to be reunified, wonderful. We're so happy. But if they continue to be in care, we want to continue to show up for them while they're there. And so the relationships that I've built, so seeing the girls that I've had in my cabins at events is so great. And so I'm there and I'm like, okay, so Selena, like, who signed up? Can you tell me? Like, can I see your list? Because I'm just like, are my girls going to be here? And there were a million different reasons why I kept showing up, just because I do feel this is where I'm going to be. I truly believe for the rest of my life, in some capacity. But it was, oh my gosh, they might be here again. And that was the goal of Lisa Studies. I didn't realize that until I got to working here, is that they're really trying to build relationships and consistency where there is little consistency, mm-hmm. And to no fault of these kids' own, but it wants to be, hey, those people who volunteered at least these, they really care. And I see them all the time. Like, they're repeat people because we have repeat volunteers. And so it's like everybody keeps coming back, mm-hmm. and you just keep building relationships in places that are really hard to build relationships a lot of the time.
It's so special when the kids remember you.
Yeah.
And they, uh-huh. because they're going to remember. They're mm-hmm. going to remember that you showed up and you uh-huh. were there. Over and over again. And mm-hmm. yes, it's just like, oh, they remember me.
I know. It's great. It's so great. So I love the relationships that we do get to build here. Can you tell us your favorite story you've experienced from holding your position?
Yes. So a month ago, maybe? Now, I haven't been here even a year yet. Mm-hmm. So trying to think back of like favorite moments. I love everything about what we do and what I do for my position here. But the other day, foster mom comes in to pick up, I don't know if she was picking up a bag of hope or if she was picking up clothes. And she had this like 3 month old, I don't know mm-hmm. how much, months old, mm-hmm. months old baby. And of course everybody's swooning over this baby. Like, yes. Oh my gosh, it's a baby.
Yeah.
And she kind of just shared that she wasn't getting a lot of sleep. She was having trouble sleeping through the night. Mm-hmm. And Susanna was like, give us the baby. Give us this baby.
Let
you go take a nap. And she thought we were kidding. She's like, oh, wouldn't that be nice? And no, Susanna was serious.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. always watch the baby and you go take a nap. You mm-hmm. go shopping, mm-hmm. whatever you do to relax. And thankfully, she trusted us because we had already built up that relationship with her. And she trusted us enough to leave her baby. And of course, everybody took turns holding mm-hmm. this little baby. And it was finally my turn. And I got to feed him and he went to sleep. And I just sat there for probably mm-hmm. like 30 minutes, just rocking him, letting him sleep. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. Sometimes, like a lot. 95% of our job, 99% of our job is events, planning this, at least me and you, because we're yeah. on the event side. We're planning the events. We're making sure things are flowing right. We're getting information out on social media. We're doing these podcasts. Mm-hmm. And then other times it's, we just need to help this foster mom. We just need to sit. We just need to babysit these kids.
Yep.
We just need to watch them. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that, especially about Susanna and her heart is just to, we're not going to forget about the foster parents either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to take care of you too.
Yeah.
And it really felt reflected
in a not flashy way.
Right.
I think that's really what makes that stand out is that it was just an everyday, like mm-hmm. she just needed to come pick something up from us. And it ended up being, wait, are you serious? You're going to serve me just on a random Tuesday? Like in that capacity. So that is really cool. That was a fun day.
It was
so cute.
It was so cute.
So precious. I also have a lot of favorite stories. I am going to tell a camp story and I'm going to tell my most recent camp story as a staff member. And so last year at camp, I was like in a dead sprint. I was very, very rushed. Which I do think that kind of goes with what you're saying. I think that the best stories happen when you are in a rush and mm-hmm. the Lord really slows you down. And so I was in a rush, but I needed breakfast because it's hot out there and I did not want to pass out. So I was like in the cafeteria, the little kids were about to leave and the big kids were about to come in and get breakfast. And this one little girl in one of the, she was so tiny. She had to be eight. She had to be in our little baby 8-year-old cabins. And she comes and she pokes and she like taps on my back and she was mad. And I was like, what's up? And, you know, like, I got to go. What do you need? And she said, she looked at her friend who was not her friend at the moment. She said, she was mad. She said, she just told me she was in foster care. I said, yeah, like, yeah, she is. And she looked at me. She, you know, her mouth was open. She's like, really? And I said, yeah. She said, I thought I was the only one. Mm. And I said, no, baby girl. I said, you're not the only one. I said, do you see all these people in this cafeteria? I said, they're all of them are in foster care. All of these campers you see, you are among people who, and she's eight. I didn't say it like this, but my heart, like really what I told her, I was, because I didn't need to say anything else. I said, no, everybody's in foster care. All the kids here are in foster care. That's all I needed to say because it made such an impact on her. She mm-hmm. was like, I thought I was the only one. And it was so interesting to me to think that this little girl had gone through her life. I don't know how long she'd been in there. I don't even know her name, but she had gone however long thinking that what was happening to her was only happening to her. Mm-hmm. And to be able to, in that moment, she was just ticked. I think she thought she was making fun of her. And she was like, there's no way. Why are you saying that? Why would you ever say that? And for a minute, an adult to be able to tell her, no, she's just right. You're not alone. There, all of these kids are going through something similar to you. And to see just the shock and almost kind of relief on mm-hmm. her face is that, oh.
Can you imagine the walls just coming down?
Yes.
Just to know
yes.
I'm not mm-hmm. alone.
And to be able to experience camp the rest of the time with people you realize now they have similar experiences.
Yeah.
The coolest thing, and these kids are therapy to themselves, so we'll say that as camp gets closer, and Christmas too, these kids are therapy to themselves. Them getting to be around people who don't ask them, why are you not calling the people you live with your parents, your mom and dad? Why are you with your grandma? They're not going to ask that.
Right.
They have this complete basis of understanding of, hey, I know what you're talking about. It is so cool. And so few people know them like that and understand their story just immediately. And so when they do come in contact with people that do, it's great. So my favorite, that is my most recent favorite story is being able to take that time to, first of all, honestly, I'm glad she tapped me and didn't wait to find a counselor. Like her counselor, I'm sure she was trying to wrangle him out the door, but I was the closest, because I think she'd go fight her. Because I think she was mad. I think she was mad because she was like, how dare you say that? Like, surely not. And so anyway, it was great. Our last question for the day is, how can other people get involved / support you with where you are in your position in foster care?
Yeah, Susanna, I don't know if this is her quote or somebody else's, but I've only ever heard her say it, is not everybody can do everything, mm-hmm. but everybody can do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to talk about volunteering all day long. I mean, mm-hmm. not only is it my job, but that's mm-hmm. where I started. And that's, you know, not everybody is called to be a foster parent. Not everybody has the financial means to give money.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has the time to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody can do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think finding out what your something is,
mm-hmm.
What the Lord is placing on your heart, whether mm-hmm. it's volunteering, whether it's just donating, whether it's using your finances and giving monetarily.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is definitely needed, just talking to the Lord and finding out how can I get involved.
Yeah.
And as far as me, personally, I just ask that people pray for me, pray mm-hmm. for my heart, that my heart will always be in the right place, that it will be for the children,
mm-hmm.
For the families. Yeah, I think it's not all sunshine and rainbows working here. We do hear a lot of hard stories, and it can weigh on you. It can weigh on your heart. And so I'd say that for anybody listening, the very least you can do is just pray for us here.
Yeah.
Just pray for what we're doing. Pray for the mission to continue. Pray mm-hmm. for the money to keep flowing.
Yeah.
But if you've got the time, volunteer.
Yes.
I've got
Please.
So many opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Different areas, you know, so.
Yeah. My call to action will be, and this might not necessarily support me, but it will. It will kind of. I talk about this in my everyday life. Like, this is something people are probably sick of me talking about.
I'm still new, so they're not sick of it yet. They might be, but get ready.
They probably not. They actually come in, like, they if they listen, they're like, oh, no, I want to be part of it. Because that's there we go, is the more you know, the more you can't look away. Mm-hmm. And it's not even about not looking away. It's about seeing the need and knowing that there is something you can do about it. This might not be your life's calling, like it seems to be for me and Rebecca, but there is somewhere you can get involved, because these kids are living next door to you. They're going to school with your kids. These are everyday kids who did not ask for where they are. And the more you know about the life that they lead and the life that kind of happens to them. It's not, but it feels like a lot of times the life just happens to them. They don't have a say. The more you know about that, and the more you can educate yourself through this podcast, through other podcasts, through getting to know a foster family, through asking your local DSS if there's anything that they need, educate yourself on issues that are right next door to you. So my call to action really is, yeah, just get educated. Mm-hmm. Just listen to the voices that are out there. And you don't have to take up this massive donation or dedicate your entire life to this, but know about it. Be educated. Don't be ignorant on the fact that there are children experiencing foster care all around you and the crisis that is out there. And that's pretty, you can do that simply. You can listen to podcasts. Let's plug that video. It's called Removed by.
So the video was made by Nathaniel Matanik, Matanick. Him and his wife
awesome.
Produce these movies.
And that'll just kind of give you a glimpse into what I mean by this. This is something that happens to them. Like they don't have a say. They didn't do anything to deserve it. So start there. Start with the Removed video by the Matanicks. And come back and listen. We're going to have several different people from a bunch of different areas. So Rebecca was telling you everybody can do something. We're going to show you different somethings. We're going to have donors. We're going to have other nonprofit leaders. We're going to have church leaders who are very involved in the foster care fight. Foster parents. You guys, it is going to be a slam packed. You have a great lineup coming your way. So I'm so excited to hear their voices, get their wisdom, and we'll see you next time. Podcast Bridging the Campus
East to Peace. Thanks for joining us today for Foster Carolinas. Were you inspired by something you heard today? Well, we want to encourage you to make the next step, whatever that is. Everyone can do something for children in foster care. If you're not sure where to start, go to our website at www.lotcarolinas.com and see what you can do.